Good evening. I hope you're well. Hope you've had a beautiful day. Please join me in singing the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa, Gedula Chemincha, Tati Tserura. Aleph Bet Gimel. Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, which is the gematria as of the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love.
Dorshe Yehudcha
Shlomo David has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasa, or sustenance. Sustenance is the fulfillment of our desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that we can utilize in order to take back the energy that we've fed to the other side through the Kuf. Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sidkacha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Saritaf Gimel. Chasin Kadosh Birov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayin. Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Hei Zayin Kuf. This is a sequence of letters that helps us speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yudtaf. The first two letters of this verse, Shin and Kuf, have a gematria of 400, which represents the four worlds in their perfection of 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. The Vav Tzadi Yud Taf has a gematria of 506, the same as the first verse, which teaches us that the creative process starts with love, unconditional love, and manifests with unconditional love in all of the worlds. That is the idea of perfection. The creative process needs to have the consciousness of unconditional love at every step on its way in order to meet perfection. Perfection is the goal. Don't let anybody tell you that man cannot be perfect, but only in unity. And the last verse is said in a whisper, which we call silently. I'm now going to read from the Zohar. the portion of Truma. Section 35, Moses, Aaron, and Samuel. Vayihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenehu. Shemu El Zakah Lena'ar Dikti V'Hana'ar Na'ar Ushmu El B'Sharet Uvgin D'Kaima V'Chai Darga V'Dai Ihu Kimo Shevi Acharot Mandinatil lechai nar v'zakebe inun dargin ilain tekaimin behu Moshe v'yacharon. This is verse 407, which ends this section. Samuel merited the level of youth, which is the secret of the mochin, of the small face of the cherubs, as it is written, and the child was young. A verse from Samuel 1, chapter 1. And Samuel served, being a child girded. Samuel 1, chapter 2. Since he stood in this level, certainly he was like Moses and Aaron, for one who took the level of youth and merited it, merits the highest levels that Moses and Aaron merited. The Hebrew word for youth is na'ar, nun ayin resh. The last two letters of that verse, of that word, when done in reverse, spell the word evil. It's just to give you an indication that a child can be evil, but when it connects to the nun, which is falling, which is representing being humble and recognizing Hashem above us, the child is not evil. The child is being a child. There is a consciousness called youth, na'ar. There is a consciousness when we consider that we're born at the level of the Keter. The youth actually represents Chokhmah and Bina in being united. We progress from a birth to maturation through the level of youth. Tonight is the first class in a ongoing series of classes dealing with the mitzvot, the consciousness, the actions, the understandings, the Kavanah, which means the directed intent. Each of those aspects, and we will go through many different mitzvot in this process. I would like to do all 613, but perhaps we'll just do the ones that are doable when the temple is in the illusion that it doesn't exist. We will see. It's actually up to you. How interested are you are in the material? You'll let me know if it's something you want to continue or it's something you'd like me to go to discuss a different subject. I would, before I start the class, does anybody have any questions? Okay, I am going to mention strongly that Motzi Shabbat of Shabbat Truma is the Ramadan of Adar is the birth anniversary or birth date of Moshe Rabbeinu. It is also the death anniversary of Moshe Rabbeinu. As such, Motzi Shabbat is an important day to connect with Moshe Rabbeinu, to utilize his connection to Hashem, to utilize him as a channel for you to get closer to God. The actions that you need to do, the rituals that you need to do, is after Havdalah, light a candle and say a short phrase, not a blessing, but that you're lighting the candle in honor of Moshe Rabbeinu. And anyone who hears that action, that statement, should say Amen. And the rest of the night, the rest of Sunday, until sundown, it's good to study the words of Moshe Rabbeinu in the book of Deuteronomy, in the Talmud, in the Zohar. In the Zohar, there are sections Rea Hemunya, which is the faithful shepherd. But the faithful shepherd is Moshe, who came to teach Rabbi Shimon in the cave. And those sections are recorded as a special identity, the Rea Hemunya, the faithful shepherd sections. It's good to read those sections of the Zohar. There is also a traditional study that comes from the Ben Ish Chai, and it has been translated into English. It's PDF file of 176 pages to be studied during the evening and all day Sunday, as you wish. For those of you who would like the PDF file, just write me, let me know you'd like it, and I will be forwarding it on to you. It's not something that I translated, it's something I've come across. And this is the first year I will be using it. But the source is a very kosher source, and I strongly suggest that people utilize it, as I will. So let's talk about mitzvot. The singular of mitzvot is mitzvah. Mitzvot is plural, mitzvah is singular. Mitzvah is spelled Mem Tzadi Vav He. And the majority of the world translates mitzvah as a commandment, because the middle two letters, Tzadi Vav, is the word Tzav, which is commandment. It's a shorish for the concept of commandment. But the Zohar, in many, many places, expresses the knowledge and the teaching that if one does anything because they are commanded to do so, that they are participating in idol worship. And another way to understand that as it applies to the concept of mitzvah is to look at the word mitzvah. The word mitzvah can have a other shortish. Sadi Vav Hey can be another shortish for the word mitzvah. And that shortish, that root, is a concept of connection. And the mem in front, as a leading letter in any word, can be interpreted as the idea of from. I am from Los Angeles, Los Angeles. Just as the idea of the bet is the word in the beginning. Bereshit. The mem means from. I am from Los Angeles. The word mitzvah can be seen as being from connection. Here is another level of understanding what is a mitzvah. And so far I haven't translated the word for you. I'm keeping that in reserve for you to be thinking about. The four letters, Mem, Tzadi, Vav, He. The first two letters can be transposed using the concept of noterekin. Noterekin translates as the consciousness of letter substitution. Essentially, there are eight known techniques for substituting one letter for another. One of those techniques, which represents the Sefirah of Tiferet, is called the Atbash method. And that word Atbash comes from the four letters involved. The Aleph is transposed, substituted for the Taf, or conversely, the Taf is substituted for the Aleph. And the Bash is the Shin is substituted for the Bet. Essentially, the first letter is substituted for the last letter. The second letter is substituted for the second to the last letter. The Gimel would be substituted for the Resh, the third to the last letter. The Dalet is substituted by the Kuf, the fourth to the last letter. And so forth, until all the letters have a individual substitution. When you use the Atbash method on the Mem, it becomes a Yud. When you use the Atbash method on the Tzadi, it becomes a Hey. Then you have the Vav and the Hey for the balance of the word mitzvah. And essentially, we see the connection between Hashem, Yud-Ke, Vav-Ke, and mitzvah. Now, what one question that I always asked, and it only became revealed to me in the last few months, is to understand, why do we not do the Atbash substitution for the Vav and the He? Why only for the first two letters? Many other words, the Atbash substitutions are done in all of the letters. Why in this one word do we only substitute the first two letters? And the answer that's been revealed is the understanding of certain worlds are concealed, and certain worlds are revealed. The upper worlds are concealed. The lower worlds are revealed. The Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, each of those letters metaphorically represents worlds. The Yud and the K are concealed. That's why we transform them using the Atbash, to be able to reveal them. The Vav and the He are already revealed. With this understanding, with these teachings, we begin to get a sense that a mitzvah is a connection to Hashem. Now it's time to reveal what is the translation of mitzvah. Usually, when in my writings, I do not translate the word mitzvah. The way many people translate it, it's a good deed. But that truly does not explain what is a mitzvah. Yes, doing a good deed for someone is considered a mitzvah by most people. But it isn't truly a mitzvah, not in the specific sense that God commanded it. But God didn't command it, although that is one level of understanding the word mitzvah. What is a good deed? What are the mitzvot? In our generation, starting in the 1300s, Maimonides codified the mitzvot. And after him, a few other sages commented on his codification. He listed 613 mitzvot. Many of them can only be done when the temple is in existence. Many of them can only be done by the king of Israel, which we no longer have a political king. Many of them can only be done by a high priest, who can only function in the temple, which needs to be in existence. Many of them can only be done in the land of Israel. Items like the Jubilee. Items like the counting of the 7 years for the farmers to let the land rest. There are 613 mitzvot. 248 positive, meaning mitzvot that you do, and 365 negative mitzvot, meaning actions that you don't do. In Maimonides' list, sometimes the same type of action is listed in both groups. One mitzvah is to keep the Shabbat. One mitzvah is to not desecrate the Shabbat. Both appear in the list. What is a good deed? Is doing the positive actions that are listed in that list, as well as doing any good deed for anybody with the consciousness that you are doing a mitzvah. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. What is a mitzvah? Not doing any of the items that are in the list, as well as not hurting another person or animal. With the consciousness that you are, by not doing that action, that desire that occurred to you, that you've stopped, by not doing that action, it's a mitzvah. So the idea of a mitzvot is there 613. But being who we are and what we are, and the confusion of our world, we have counted the number of letters in the Esser Dibrot, the 10 statements, the 10 utterances. And there are 620 letters in those 13 verses. Remember, 13 is the number of unity. The word Echad in Hebrew has a gematria of 13. The word Ahava, love, has a gematria of 13. The word Deaga, caring, has the gematria of 13. 13 is the number of unity, the number of love, the number of caring. 613 mitzvot. There are 620 letters in the Esser Dibrot. What does that mean? Well, the explanation that is given in the Talmud is that there are 7 additional mitzvot authorized by the leaders of their generation and codified in the Talmud. Those 7 make it 620 mitzvot. There is a correlation between the 613 mitzvot and the 613 parts of the body. These other 7 mitzvot would imply that there are 7 missing or illusionary, I don't want to say it that way, 7 parts of the body that cannot be yet revealed in the physical world. As the cleansing of the physical world takes place, as the world becomes a place where God can be revealed, these 7 parts of our body will find their way into our consciousness, our perception. A mitzvah is a good deed. A mitzvah is a connection to God. Before any mitzvah, the Sephardic minhag, custom, is to say a short paragraph in Hebrew that ends with the statement that I use prior to reading from the Zohar. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu, Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenehu. This short phrase can be said before any mitzvah. And it's highly recommended that it be said. There's an additional part to this where it is recommended that you have the consciousness, the directed intention called the kavanah, that you are doing this action or you are not doing this action for the sole purpose of unifying the Yud K with the Vav K. What does that mean? The revealed worlds and the concealed worlds are separated. The Vav, it never separates from the lower He. But our actions can, metaphorically speaking, impact outside of ourselves. That impact means what? That impact means that the world, the name of God, has been broken apart, God forbid. It's a metaphor, but it's also real. What happens above happens below. What happens below happens above. When we do a wrong action, we separate the name Yud-K from the name Vav-K. When we correct that action, and or when we do a positive action, when we do a mitzvah, we bring together these Yud-K with the Vav-K. We reunify, metaphorically speaking, the name of God. Metaphorically speaking, we strengthen God. Before every action, it is recommended from the Sephardic Minhag and the Ashkenazis, while they don't say that particular paragraph, the Hasidic Ashkenazim do recommend that you have the consciousness. The consciousness that the only reason you are doing this action, or the only reason you are not doing this action, is to unify the concealed worlds with the revealed worlds. Can concealed worlds be unified with revealed worlds? Only by concealing the revealed, or revealing the concealed. To be unified, those concepts of revelation and concealment must be brought into balance. That is one idea of what you are doing when you connect to a mitzvah, when you connect to Hashem by doing a mitzvah. There was one point that I wanted to speak to about mitzvot. Ultimately, Kabbalah teaches, and the mitzvot, the understanding of mitzvot, reinforces that consciousness is the totality of what happens. Without consciousness, nothing happens. The metaphor that's described is pretty consistent, that you can't build a building without the thought of building a building. You can't make a baby without the thought of making a baby. Well, let's really think about that. our babies brought into the world. At times when people didn't plan on bringing babies into the world. Certainly in previous generations this was true. But even in those generations, there was a thought sometime in the person's past, sometime in that person's life, prior to the conception of the child, there was a thought to bring a baby. Even if there was a thought to not have a baby, not have children, that thought, at its source, at its root, has the consciousness of bringing a child. The process of doing a mitzvah brings someone to this level of understanding consciousness and how we should do actions with consciousness. We have a teaching from the Talmud, and it's reinforced in the Zohar, which says that someone, that a human being is created. Well, let me step back. The teaching is that when someone does an action that they are commanded to do by someone in authority, that the person who does that same action but was never commanded, the person who overcame or the person who was commanded is doing it at a higher level than the person who was not commanded. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, does it? But let's delve into it and understand what our sages are saying. When someone is commanded, the human being is built, is created, has a inbuilt instinct to bristle, to immediately react with a no, I will not do this. You have no right to command me. I won't do what you ask. The human being who is commanded, when they do their overcoming, when they overcome their reactive behavior of, no, I won't do what you command, and do what is commanded, it is harder for them. Therefore, a greater level, a higher level, than the person who is never commanded it and does the action out of choice. I choose to wash my hands in the morning, one of the mitzvot. I choose to bring a child. I choose to not hurt my friend. If I have never been instructed in mitzvot, as many of our non-Jewish human beings. They've not heard of mitzvot. They're not taught in the context of the laws of Noah what their mitzvot are. Many of them arrive at the level of doing mitzvot, their mitzvot, their seven Noahide mitzvot. But without having the consciousness that it is a mitzvah, without having the consciousness that it is a command, but it's not a command. Without having this consciousness, the doing of their actions is not as high as it could be. One of the teachings associated with the mitzvah for the Jewish nation, the Israel nation, the children of Israel, to be a light unto the nations. One of the corollaries, one of the understandings of that mitzvah, which we'll talk about in another time, but one of that, the understandings, is to bring the understanding to the other nations about the Noahide mitzvot. So it is reasonable and understandable and very clear that Western society is attempting to bring a rational society, a just society. But if it isn't a mitzvah, if it wasn't said to them as a command, if it isn't in their consciousness that they're doing it to serve God because he's asked them to do this, it's not as high a revelation as if they came to understand that. And part of the role of the children of Israel is to bring that understanding. But God does not want us to do things because we are commanded. This is the reason for the reactive behavior to a command. We are not to do things because of a command. That, as the Zohar explains, is idol worship. Why is it idol worship? A simple reason. When you do something because someone commands you, you are doing the action without free choice. In most of Western society, we have reached a level where we don't have slavery on the physical level, except they're called children. Children are slaves in Western society. Now, that's a pretty strong statement, and I probably would back away from it, but I'm using it to figuratively illustrate the understanding of what is a command. A child is told to clean his room. Clearly, the parent is not punishing the child. That's a responsibility that every human has to learn, because we're not born with an instinct to be clean. We are taught to be clean. A baby would never clean its face, except that if the face wasn't cleaned, the skin would become chafed. And then maybe the baby would learn. But parents, mothers, don't let the baby get to that point. So we really don't know if it's instinct to be clean or not. But it's clearly learned. Clean your room is part of the message, command, learn to be clean. Clean, in this context, may be talking about the concept of purity. Maybe not. That's another point for another discussion. Children are commanded by their parents, and as human beings, their reaction is to say no. They receive greater elevation when they overcome that reaction. Now, I realize I'm teaching you, expressing to you things that you may not have thought of in those terms. But that is what Kabbalah is all about. Asking you to view the world differently than with logic. To understand the world on a level of intuition. God does not want us to do things because we are commanded. A mitzvah is not a command. I teach my children, the children that I teach, 10-year-old children. They're in the third level of Hebrew in an American synagogue. I teach my children that it's a suggestion. When one of my children said this word to the cantor said, "I can't accept that. It's not a suggestion. We must follow it." Why must we follow this mitzvah? It's not a command. God does not want us to do it because we're commanded. But he rewards us when we overcome our reactive nature to being commanded. And that's why I said earlier in this class, the mitzvah is a command, and that is one level of understanding the word mitzvah. But we arrive at a higher level when we do the action of the mitzvah with the consciousness of unifying the revealed and concealed worlds. When we do that, because why do we do that? When we do that, because it gives pleasure to the creative, to the creator to observe us doing this action, gives him pleasure. We are not doing the mitzvah to receive something from the creator. We do the mitzvah in order to give pleasure to the Creator. And in that sense, when we give pleasure to the Creator, it is considered receiving in order to share. Now, I have spoken for almost an hour. And that is the first time that I have used words that I have used in our basic Kabbalah classes. We were all created as a desire to share. When Adam did the action, what was his mitzvah? And he only had one mitzvah to perform. And it was a negative mitzvah. Do not eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. One mitzvah. And Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Now, Adam did not eat it because he was because he wanted to test God. Adam did it for a positive reason, a positive consciousness. And the Zohar comes to tell us, literally, the old adage that you've heard a million times in your life, the road to Gehinnom is paved with good intentions. Adam had good intentions irrespective of his good intentions, the result, the consequence, was a disconnection. The consequence was the need for additional mitzvot in order to get back to that level of one mitzvah. Initially, they were the seven mitzvot that still apply to the children of Noah. And when that essence, them were not capable of achieving the restoration back to the level of Adam. We were given 613 mitzvot in order to restore back to Adam. And today we can't even do those 613. We can only physically do some of them. But our sages teach that the study of these mitzvot is the same as doing them when you are not capable of doing them for whatever reason. It is said that when a man, it is said that when a woman goes to the mikveh to immerse herself and to make herself pure from her level of nidah, from her level of impurity, it is said that if the door is locked, because she did the action with the intention, with the consciousness, it is said that she achieved the cleansing of the mikveh. That she did not have to physically get into the body of water. That all of the klipot associated with her impurity are destroyed when she tries the door and it's locked, through no fault of her own. Of course, if she didn't call the mikveh lady to be there, then she is responsible. She is the cause of the door being locked. But if the mikveh lady didn't arrive in time to open the mikveh, her consciousness, her action of going to the mikveh is sufficient. Now, we have talked for an hour, and I have given you many different thoughts on what is a mitzvah, what is its purpose. We could probably talk another 10 hours on the idea of a mitzvah. But next week we will start to talk about the mitzvot in detail. We will talk about the mitzvot on the specific level, rather than the general level that this class is about. I invite you to join me at 10 p.m. L.A. time tomorrow for the reading of the Zohar. We will read from the Parasha of Truma. I remind you about the Zion Adar for Motzi Shabbat. I wish you Kodesh Tov for the month of Adar. And before I leave, does anyone have any questions? Have a beautiful evening, a beautiful day.